have to get along with meagre fare. Just remember in his word how he feeds the little bird. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Leave it there, leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust and never doubt, he will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If your body suffers pain, and your health you can't regain, and your soul is almost sinking in despair, Jesus knows the pain you feel. He can save and he can heal. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Leave it there, leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust and never doubt, he will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. When your enemies assail and your faith begins to fail, just remember God in heaven answers prayer. He will make a way for you and will guide you safely through. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Leave it there, leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust and never doubt, he will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the
Well, we'd like to thank Mrs. Morrow for coming and singing those lovely old gospel pieces. Our prayer is the Lord will bless them to your hearts this evening. Praise God, we can bring every burden to the Lord, whatever that burden is. And he's the one that can take away the burden. He's the one that can help us in the burdens of life. And indeed, the greatest burden of all, the burden of sin, can be dealt with by the precious blood of Christ shed upon the cross of Calvary. The Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Thank her sister for coming. We pray the Lord will bless her as she sings for the Lord and ministers to the Lord in this way. Want to welcome you all tonight again in the Lord's name. It's good to see so many have gathered here this evening, and we thank you for coming. And our prayer is the Lord will bless you tonight. If you're a believer in the Lord, may you be encouraged in afresh in the Lord, your Savior. And if you're here tonight and you're not saved, the burden of our heart, the prayer of God's people is that even through these meetings that you'll get saved, that you'll come to the Lord, and that you'll even go home tonight rejoicing in God's so great salvation in your life. Praise God, you can be saved in a moment of time, and saved not only for time, but for all of eternity. We welcome again our guest evangelist, the Reverend John Morrow from Omagh. We're blessed through this ministry last evening, and our prayers the Lord will richly bless him again tonight as he brings God's word and preaches that message that the Lord has laid upon his heart. Remember, please, the final meeting tomorrow night, do plan to join with us. And do remember that it is an hour earlier, so don't turn up at 8 o'clock thinking you're coming for the normal starting time. The meeting probably will be coming near an end at that time, but it'll be at 7 o'clock on the Lord's Day evening, a Sunday evening. And the Reverend Morrow will be along to bring God's word, and Raymond and Jenny Foy will be with us to sing. So pray for that meeting. I encourage you to pray for the Lord's servant and make it a special effort to invite maybe a friend, a neighbour, somebody you live near to or whatever, along to the meeting. And do come along yourself tomorrow evening as well. And you'll be blessed, and you'll be a blessing to others and encouraging others to come. Can I say all the meetings are recorded, and if you'd like any copies of the meetings, then speak to a recording team and they can get you a copy of those meetings on CD format or DVD, whatever you require. So that's really all by way of announcements. Welcome again the Reverend Morrow. He's going to come now and read God's word and preach that message the Lord has laid upon his heart for the meeting tonight, and we pray the Lord will richly bless him as he ministers in the word of God. Thank you.
I want to read some verses with you from the New Testament and the Gospel of John. John's Gospel, chapter 1, the chapter no doubt will be very, very familiar, especially to those who know and love the Lord. But for sake of time, we're commencing at verse 19. John's Gospel, chapter 1, and the verse 19. There the Bible says, this is the record of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then? Art thou Elias? And he said, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, no. Then said they unto him, who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself? And he said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees, and they asked him and said unto him, why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you, whom ye know not. He it is whose coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, behold the Lamb of God, that taketh away the sin of the world. We'll end our Bible reading there. And again, we know that the Lord will add his blessing to the public reading of his truth. We're going to bow our hearts and ask for the Lord's help in the preaching of his word. Heavenly Father, we lift our hearts to you in prayer. We call upon thee. We realize without thee we can do nothing. We realize, Lord, in ourselves we are not sufficient for this hour. But we pray that you'll come and by the power of thy Holy Spirit, apply thy truth effectually to all of our hearts. We thank you for each one that has come. And we pray now that thy word will find an abiding place, that you'll write its truth indelibly upon the conscience of our hearts, that on hearing thy word, we might heed thy word. We thank you for the privilege that we have to hear the gospel of Christ, hear words whereby we can be saved. Yet, our Father, we realize that comes with a tremendous responsibility of our heeding what we hear. And as thy word tells us in the book of Hebrews in chapter 2, that we ought to give the more diligent heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. And our Father, we earnestly pray for help. Let the words of my mouth, the meditation of all our hearts, be acceptable in your sight. For we ask this in our Saviour's name. Amen. I want to take the words of the last verse that we read together, verse 29, to form the basis of our message for this evening. Where the Bible says the next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, that which taketh away the sin of the world. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. The theme of my message tonight is simply, Look and live. Now the words of our text fall from the lips of one of the most interesting characters you will read of anywhere in the Holy Scriptures, that of John the Baptist. The Bible tells us that among men born of women, there was none greater than John the Baptist. The Bible refers to him as a man sent from God. He was a unique individual. He was unique in his dress, and he was unique in his diet. The Bible tells us that he wore rough, rugged clothes, clothes that were made of camel hair, and he ate locusts and wild honey. John's clothes were like the clothes of Elijah in the Old Testament, of which we read in 2 Kings chapter 8. And isn't it amazing that when the priests and the Levites come to John the Baptist to inquire as to who he was, they said to him, Art thou Elijah? Of course, he was the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was so faithful to the Savior and so loyal to his Lord that he was ultimately beheaded in a Roman prison cell for the gospel's sake. Now standing on the banks of the River Jordan, preaching his message of repentance, when suddenly the Savior appears, and John lifted up his hand that day and finished his sermon like every sermon ought to finish, by crying, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. What John was doing there, he was pointing people to Jesus. He was exhorting them to look to Christ. And if they looked to him, then they would live spiritually and they would be saved eternally. The Baptist was making it abundantly clear that salvation was not found in him. It was not found in the baptism that he was performing at that time, but rather found only in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, and if people looked to him, they would be saved. Of course, Jesus himself emphasized that same truth when he said in John 14 and verse 6, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And again, in John's Gospel, chapter 10 and verse 9, Jesus said, For I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And John the Baptist was pointing the people to Jesus, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And that is the simple gospel message that we have to proclaim this evening. Friend, we want to point you to Christ. We want to tell you this sublime truth, that if you look to the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, you can be saved and saved for all eternity. Now I want to leave three simple thoughts with you. First of all, the person John expounds. He says, Behold the Lamb of God. Now people in themselves, they were very, very curious to find out who John was. Some indeed thought he was Elijah, but John, he had nothing whatsoever to say concerning himself, other than this, that he was a voice crying in the wilderness. His message was all about the person of Christ, the only Savior of sinners, and here he's pointing them to that Savior. And of course, he had the wonderful privilege of pointing Andrew to the Lord Jesus Christ that day. Again, we must emphasize that is the purpose of any gospel meeting. That is the purpose of any gospel mission, to point people to the Savior. Because Paul said, writing to the church at Corinth, he said, For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. The one who came to seek and to save that which was lost, to give his life a ransom for many, and to die the just for the unjust. Now, thinking the person John expounds, we find, first of all, that Jesus is a spotless lamb. Over in Exodus chapter 12, we have the great story of the Exodus out of Egypt. And the lamb to be selected for Israel's deliverance on the night of the Passover was to be a lamb without blemish. In other words, a perfect and a pure lamb. A picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because Jesus could stand before all the enemies of his day and say to them, Which of you can convince me of sin? And there wasn't one of them could open their mouth in honest condemnation of Christ. And every accusation that they brought against him was a false accusation. Insomuch that even when he was brought in and tried before Pilate, Pilate had to go out before the people and say, I find in this man no fault at all. And Peter, speaking of that same Savior, refers to him as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And he went on to further say of Christ that he did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. My friend, God's people are not perfect people. They are not sinless people. But thank God they have a forgiven people by the Lord. But Jesus said, Look unto me. My friend, if you look to Christ, you'll find not a single fault in him, insomuch that there's no valid reason why you should bar that Savior out of your life. But he was not only a spotless lamb, he was also a sacrificial lamb. Isaiah puts it this way and says, But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. He had no sin. He did no sin. Neither was guile found in his mouth, but he was wounded for our sins. He was wounded for our transgressions. The hymn writer puts it this way and says, wounded for me, wounded for me. There on the cross he was wounded for me. Gone my transgressions, and now I am free. All because Jesus was wounded for me. And the wounding of Christ and the sufferings of the Savior emphasize to you and to me the value of our immortal soul. That the sinless Son of God would go out to Calvary's cross, lay down his blood, and lay down his life and shed his blood, the ransom price of all our sins. That he would take our punishment. That he would satisfy the demands of divine justice. Because that day at Calvary's cross, divine justice stepped forward, cried into the face of the lovely Son of God, pay me what thou owest. And Jesus paid with his very last drop of blood, until divine justice cried out, enough, enough, and God was eternally satisfied. He was also the substitutionary Savior, or Lamb, the Lamb of sacrifice, which we've already referred to in Exodus chapter 12, was a substitute for the firstborn of the Israelites. Those who didn't have the blood applied to their doors, then the death angel came and the firstborn was taken. But the Lamb died instead of the Israelite children. And the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Lamb, is our substitute. Paul said he loved me and he gave himself for me. The one who died in your stead and mine. The Bible again in Isaiah chapter 53 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to our own way. But the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was despised and he was forsaken. And all the wrath of man was poured out upon him. But I want to tell you something about Calvary that no human eye could see. Was God lifting his rod of divine wrath, laying it up on the back of his sinless Son, and punishing your sins and mine in Christ. There he was, taking our place, taking our punishment, paying the price of our sin, satisfying the demands of divine justice, that you and I might be saved. The Lord Jesus Christ, as we've emphasized, had no sin. But as the Apostle Peter says, he bore our sins in his own body to the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. He took our sins and our sorrows. He made them his very own. He bore our burden to Calvary. He suffered and died alone. Friend, don't you see the value of your soul? That God would give the darling of his bosom to the hounds of hell to purchase your redemption? And yet, is it not so that someone there is selling their soul cheaply to the devil, selling their soul for a moment of sinful pleasure? Yet Christ loved you, gave himself for you, took your place, died in your stead, that you might have eternal life. This is the Savior that John is talking about. This is the Savior that John is expounding. The only Savior of sinners. The Savior that you personally need to put your trust in and in tonight. But there's not only the person John expounds, but then there's the pardon John explains. He says, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." That was Christ's purpose in coming into the world. He didn't come merely to live a good life, and he did that. He didn't come merely to set a good example, and he did that. He came into this world to give his life for ransom for us. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He shed his blood on Calvary's cross for the purpose of taking away our sins. He lived a sinless life, went to Calvary's cross, shed his precious blood, that you and I might be freely pardoned from all our sin. Sin, folks, is a big problem. Sin pays bad wages. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. The Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. We read, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We read that there's not a righteous man on the earth. We read that from the crown of the head to the sole of the feet, there is no soundness in us, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. That is God's picture of humanity without the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, what is needed tonight is this. We need to put our faith and trust in that one who was our substitute, that one who shed his blood, the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to repent of our sin. We need to lay hold upon eternal life. We need to embrace Christ as our personal Savior. My friend, the moment you put your faith and trust in Christ, you'll know his pardon from sin. You'll know his peace in your heart, a peace that the world cannot take away. There may things come into your life that will disturb your peace, but nothing can destroy it, given by the Lord. Over in the Old Testament and in the book of Leviticus, there we have a very interesting story regarding the scapegoat. The Bible tells us that Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel, and all their transgressions and all their sins. Putting them upon the head of the goat, he shall send him away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness. Then he goes on to say that the goat shall bear upon him all their iniquities unto a land inherited, inhabited, and he shall let go the goat in the wilderness. The people had a scapegoat. My friend, the good news of the gospel is this, that we have a scapegoat tonight. We have a scapegoat in the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who bore our sins in his own body to the tree. And when he saves us by his grace, then our sins are taken away, and they are cast into the sea of his forgetfulness, and they are remembered no more against us again forever. They are taken from us as far as the east is from the west. What a glorious salvation is offered to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if I am speaking to a doubting Christian tonight, then cast away your doubts. God has taken your sin and blotted them out, never ever to be remembered against you again forever. Because God not only forgives us our sins, but God forgets
that we ever sinned at all. What a glorious redemption we have in Jesus Christ. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole. They are nailed to his cross, and I bear them no more. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Oh believer, aren't you glad you're saved tonight? That you'll never stand before God to give an account of your sin, because they're all washed away in the blood of the Lamb. Paul says, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You and I live in a world where people really don't have much peace now about anything. There's very little that you and I can take for granted anymore. The only thing that you and I are sure of now is that one day we shall die. But oh, the important thing is, how will we die? With Christ or without Christ? Sadly, people's lives today are blighted by sin, robbing them of peace. Many a life burdened by sin, many a life blinded by sin. For the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Friend, have you been blinded by the devil? Have you been blinded by your sin? Maybe you know you need to be saved, but what the devil has done, he blinded you to the urgency of that matter. My friend, it's not that you need to be saved, it's that you need to be saved now. Because the Bible says, behold, today is the day of salvation. People are forever living their tomorrow. What they'll do tomorrow, what they'll be tomorrow, what they'll go tomorrow. God is in the eternal now. And he says, now is the day of salvation. And you need to come to Christ tonight. Thou knowest not what shall be on the morrow. Your life's a vapor, it appears for a little time, and then it vanishes away. Here we are tonight. Tomorrow we could be in God's eternity. And if that is so, my friend, how is it with your soul? Do you know the peace of God in salvation? Well, John says, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And the Bible says this, that the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. It doesn't matter what sin you've committed. And they may rise up like a mountain that would seek to crush your soul to hell. But the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. And we have that wonderful hymn written by Fanny Crosby, where she said, the vilest offender who truly believes this moment from Jesus, a pardon receives. Then finally, folks, I want you to notice the pleading John expressed. He says, behold the Lamb of God. Now, I don't have to explain to you what the word behold simply means. When John saw Jesus appearing, he turned to the people that he was addressing, and he simply said, look, the Lamb of God. And that's what we're trying to do. Friend, we're not asking you to look to a denomination. We are asking you tonight in simple faith to look to Jesus. For there's life for a look at the crucified one. There's life at this moment for thee. Then look, sinner, look unto him and be saved, unto him who was nailed to the tree. How simple was John's message of salvation. Behold, or look, the Lamb of God. That is the same simple gospel message tonight. Just look to Christ in faith. Salvation's not by works, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saves us. It was not in John's baptism. It's not in anyone's baptism. All you need to do, friend, is look to Christ. We referred to Paul in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 last night, where he said, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Therefore, friend, in simple, childlike faith, look to Christ, for there's life for a look. Over in the Old Testament and in the book of Numbers, we have the people murmuring, complaining against God and against Moses, and they said, "Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in this wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul longeth." Or loatheth this light bread, this manna. They complained against God. They complained against Moses. They evoked the wrath of God. God sent fiery serpents among them, and those who were bitten died. However, repentance was coming, and God told Moses to make a brazen serpent, put it on a pole, lift it up before the people, and those who looked to the brazen serpent, they would live and not die. Now, when we come into the New Testament and John's Gospel chapter 3, Jesus said, If I be lifted up, will draw all men to me. That's why he came into the world, to be lifted up on Calvary's cross, to die the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Therefore, folks, you can know spiritual healing, you can know spiritual forgiveness, you can know spiritual pardon, you can know spiritual life, if you'll simply look to the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. In Acts chapter 45 and the verse 22, the Lord says, "Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else." Friend, don't be deceived. There is no other way of salvation. You and I find ourselves in a multicultural society tonight. We are told that people of all their different religions find their own pathway to heaven. If that is so, then this book is untrue. But that is not so. There is only one way of salvation. The Lord says, "Look unto me." Friend, have you ever looked in faith to Christ? Ever called upon him simply in faith? Ever exhorted him to come into your life? Tonight, if you'll look in faith, you can be instantly saved in this car park this evening. Whosoever, he says, shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. Richard Baxter, great preacher of a bygone day, he said, "I am so glad that when we come to John 3 and 16, the Bible uses the word whosoever. Had the Bible said if Richard Baxter calls, he can be saved? He said, then I would have most certainly thought there has to be some other Richard Baxter because of my past life. But because it says whosoever, then that means me. Friend, you're not shut out. You can call upon the Lord. You can come to the Lord. You can be saved tonight. You can be saved in your car. You can call upon him. You can look in faith. And tonight, find and enjoy eternal life. But there was an urgency there in John's message. When he cried out, behold, look. And there's an urgency tonight in the matter of your soul's salvation. There may never be another night in your life. Therefore, tonight is your God-given opportunity to lay hold upon eternal life. For today is the day of salvation. Friend, this night, in this drive-in service, you can drive out again, trampling the blood of Jesus Christ under your feet, crucifying afresh the lovely Son of God, lifting up the fists of your heart in rebellion against him and saying, no, God, not for me. Or you can open your heart, embrace him as your Savior, drive out of this service a new creation in Christ, saved, cleansed, forgiven, and absolutely sure of God's heaven. But the Bible says these things are written that you might know that you have eternal life. Friend, would you trust him tonight? Just do what John the Baptist told the people of his day. Look, look to Christ. Look now and be saved. Oh, may God give you grace to look in faith tonight. Let's bow together for prayer. Heavenly Father, write your truth upon our hearts. Open hearts to receive thy Son. And just while our heads are bowed in the quietness of your car, friend, why don't you simply say, Lord, I'm a sinner, but Jesus died for sinners. And I now confess my sin, tell you I'm sorry, and turn away as best as I know how from my sin, and ask you to come into my heart and to be my Savior. Oh, friend, put your trust in him. Wherever you go in this world, in God's name, don't go to hell. For Jesus died for you, bids you come to him tonight. Lord, give that grace, give deciding grace. Men and women, boys and girls and teenagers, might behold the Lamb of God tonight and find him as Savior. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.